Hey friends, welcome to the Grace Enough podcast. I am your host, Amber Cullum. Each episode, I sit down with a guest to discuss their life journey and how the grace of God has impacted them along the way. After listening to today's episode, I hope you are encouraged that God can use you right now in the midst of your day-to-day life. Yes, it requires daily surrender and trust, but we must remember His grace is enough. Welcome to another episode of the Grace Enough podcast. How many of you use social media on a daily basis? I honestly enjoy connecting with my listeners on both Facebook and Instagram. If you use either of those platforms, please follow at @GraceEnoughPodcast_Amber and say hello. Today's guest is Veronica Greer. Veronica is the wife of the Southern Baptist Convention President, J.D. Greer. Veronica shares her faith story with us, how she continues to grow in her walk with Jesus, her sincere love for her church family, and her family's transition as her husband stepped into the role of SBC president. Listen to what she has to say about her early college years when a young woman prayed over her.
She just said, God, I pray that Veronica will understand that you do not care who she is. You don't care what she does, that you were not fooled when you died on the cross, but that you care whose she is, who she belongs to, and that is you. And it was just from that point on, I thought, why would I run away from this?
My hope after today's episode is you are reminded that we are all on a journey, and that journey is ever-changing. But God is faithful, unchanging, and trustworthy. Hi, Veronica. Welcome to the Grace Enough podcast. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, Amber. Thanks for having me.
Will you take a moment for our listeners and introduce us to you and your family, and just tell us a little bit about what you and your family are doing nowadays?
I sure will. My name's Veronica. I'm married to JD, and we have been married this summer 19 years.
Awesome.
And we have four kids. My oldest turned 16 yesterday. Yesterday was her 16th.
Oh my!
So it was a fun weekend. Yes, we were getting out pictures and, you know, doing the whole, just the sentimental, you know, trip down memory lane. It was really a fun weekend.
Okay, so I have to ask, I mean, I'm not to that place yet, but in North Carolina, when you turn 16, do you immediately get your license because you had your permit at 15? Or what's the deal with that? Because in Florida, it was you get your permit at 15 and then by 16, you get your license.
Okay, so they have really changed this system over the last, I don't know how long, but over the last several years. And if you are able to get into driver's ed on time, and when I say if you are able, I mean, basically if you, you know, said the right spell, said the right prayer, had some like virgins dance over your prayer in the moonlight or something. I mean, it's just the system is rigged against you. Anyway, if you are able to get your permit when you turn 15, which you have to have completed all these things that are very hard to get accomplished and are in the way it's done through the public school system. So if you've done that and you get your permit, then a year later, when you turn 16, you are able to have it, but it has to be 12 months that you have had the permit. And we didn't get her permit, despite trying very hard. We didn't get her permit till, I think, 2 months after she turned 15. So we have another 2 months till she can get her real license.
Well, that might be good for mama. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. I'm actually, you know, I mean, we have four kids, like I mentioned a second ago, and I'll finish introducing them in a second. But I could use the help. But really, I'm sort of thankful. And
right.
So it's a mixed, you know, mixed emotions. So then I have a 13-year-old. My oldest three are girls. So 16-year-old girl just yesterday. 13-year-old girl, she's in 8th grade. And then I have an 11-year-old, she's in 5th grade. And then that's Karis, Allie, and Raya Lane. And then my son, his name is Adoniram. We call him Adon. He is 9.
And then, yeah, tell us a little bit about what you all are doing. I mean, some people are probably like, who is Veronica and JD? You're going to tell us.
Yeah, I can try. It always feels like such a pressurized moment.
Right?
Like, who am I? Am I going existential? Like, I don't know. What are we... So I knew, I felt very called early. I mean, I'm talking 8th or 9th grade. I felt like I wanted to be, felt like the Lord wanted me to go into ministry. And at the time, that would have been in the, you know, early 90s.
Right.
I kind of pictured the way that would probably most likely take place. I wasn't interested in children's ministry, and I don't really sing. I sing average, very average. I thought, well, that means I'll probably be married to a missionary or a pastor. And so that was early on in my life. Now, there were some twists and turns that came after that. But anyway, so my husband is a pastor of the Summit Church, and we're in Raleigh, the Triangle, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, et cetera, in North Carolina. this past June, he got elected to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Mm-hmm. That still sounds very weird for me to say. To say that I didn't see that coming in my life before just a few years ago would be an understatement.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, take us back, because I know you've had a relationship with Jesus for a very long time. But tell us a little bit about how you came to know Jesus and what are the things that you do? I mean, I know as a parent myself with three mm-hmm. young children, it's not like it gets easier with parenting. It just changes. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do with your family to continue being rooted in the Lord and growing in Christ?
That is such a great question. And I love how you said that. I think for a long time I was trying to hold my breath for it to get easier when I had very small children. They were only 6 years apart in between the oldest and the fourth. So I think I finally came to the realization with some of the, you know, mentors in my life that it doesn't get easier, except, you know, physically it does, right. but it takes on other dimensions that are equally taxing. Mm-hmm. So I sleep better now for sure than you do, I'm quite sure. But there's other dimensions that are, you know, where all your children are at all times and you're in control of it. And that is not the case for me. And that is a new stage in development in my walk with Christ of trust and faith for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just mentally taxing is what I think yes. it shifts into a lot.
Yes. I think I feel more uncertain of my decisions now than I did when they were a baby. And if I had said that to myself when I had a baby, it wouldn't have been that helpful. So I apologize to anyone who has a baby right now.
I know.
But, you know, I just felt like I didn't know what I was doing. And now I'm like, oh, those decisions didn't have long-term consequences. Right. And with my 16-year-old, you know, I know that the decisions we're making right now and the decisions she's making.
Right.
They could have long-term consequences. And that is very difficult for me to walk out and to know how to, you know, so I taught high school and I love teenagers. I was involved in student ministry for years and years. I led Young Life in college and, you know, just that was kind of my jam. Mm-hmm. And then when I had babies, I discovered that I was a baby person. I didn't know I was, but I discovered
I wasn't.
I totally get it. And
sorry,
so I totally understand. But then what turned out to be the case was I was a baby person if they were my babies, mm-hmm. you know, and 2-year-old and 3-year-olds, I really was into mine and loved that. Now, when I have my own teenagers, I'm sort of thinking that I like other people's teenagers and maybe sometimes like mine, you know, so it's funny to find out that I'm worse as a teen mom than I was.
Yeah,
I think I'm worse at being a teenage parent than I was at the young kids. And I wouldn't have thought that since I loved that age.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to know. I mean, I don't think you ever know till you're in the middle of it. And yeah, then, I mean, it's really, it's like people who aren't parents trying to tell parents like what they should be doing. And, you know, so many times before you had kids, I mean, I can look back and think of some yes. of the comments I made and I'm just like, feel like I should find every person I made any yes. comment to and say, I'm so sorry.
I'm really sorry. Can I take that back yes. now? Cause I'm really sorry. Yes. I feel the same. I think that there were positions I held before I had kids. And, you know, I think the Lord had me hold those to teach me humility because okay. on this side of it, I'm like, oh, this is humble pie right here.
It sure is. Well, tell us about how did you come to know Jesus?
I love to tell this story. So I grew up in, my parents taught me to know the Lord and love the Lord. I had a great church, a great family. And so they really laid down the foundations early, which, you know, I think served me well later. So I think when I look back on it, I became a believer at summer camp and when I was in middle school. And you really do see like where I started to grow and walk with the Lord. But then, mm-hmm. but then
yes.
I went to high school. I was at a public high school and I really struggled. You know, looking back on it, you try to articulate well for people to hopefully serve them in their walk. You know, I was trying to keep God happy with me. I wanted him to like me, which sounds so funny to say, but I wanted that on one hand. And then on the other, I wanted all of my, you know, friends right. and peers to like me and, you know, be happy with me. And in high school, those usually don't overlap very much. Walking closely with the Lord. And now when I say keeping him happy with me, that was obviously the way I was looking at it. What we know is that because of God's grace and his sacrifice of Christ, he can't be happier with you, if that's how you want to put it. He loves you. He is not unclear on who you are. He is not unclear on the fact that you came from dust. Yes. But, you know, I think I was unclear on that.
Right. I think we have this works-based mentality. Our culture kind of puts it in us, but it's also our flesh that puts mm-hmm. that in us. Like, we yes. think we need to be able to please him. Yes. And that is not what he is looking for.
Mm-mm. So I was thinking, wow, I'm really dropping the ball over here with God. Mm-hmm. And so then on the other hand, I was also trying to be, you know, I guess just the age old, like wanted to be popular and all this stuff. And so to hold those two things together, just, it was not going well. So on both sides, you know, I'm feeling like I'm basically dropping the ball, and that at any moment, either God is going to discover that I am not a very good Christian, which of course you're not. That's why he had to do it for us.
That's right.
But I thought I had him fooled. And then on the other side, I'm thinking, if my friends find out what I'm really like, they're not going to like me. They're not going to want me to be around. Right. So just internally, I was trying so hard and so afraid all the time that I was going to be found out. So by the end of high school, and by the way, if there's any parents out there in this position, my family got the brunt of that internal conflict.
Yeah.
So I was able to, outside my home, kind of keep up a facade to some extent. But my family, I was in deep spiritual turmoil.
Oh, yeah.
And my family was catching that. I mean, my sister, I had to go back later and really repent and tell her and apologize, and my mom and dad too. So anyway, I was rough to be with. So by the end of high school, I decided I was going to go to college, and just, I kind of thought, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And I thought, I can't be a good Christian. So it was devastating, but I felt like I was headed for hell. That's what I thought. Yeah. And it was some kind of dark times, and it was a long time ago. So now I can kind of speak about it. You know, now, I mean, the Lord has redeemed me, so it's, I can speak about it now, but anyway, it was a hard time.
It's really, yes. really heavy and dark.
Yes,
I know.
Very.
I walked that my first 2 years of college as well.
Yeah. So I went to college, and the Lord, honestly, I love miraculous stories, and mine is no less miraculous than anybody else's. So I thought, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to any of these, you know, ministries. I mean, I was just, this is why I'm miserable. I'm just going to live it up as long as I have. So the first week of college, I find myself at first year fellowship. And I was so mad at myself. I didn't even know why I was there. I didn't know how I got there. I mean, I almost would be willing to tell you, I think I got beamed there. I mean, I didn't, but you know, it was like the Lord just miraculously, I mean, had me there. So I'm there, and the whole time I'm just like, this is the problem in my life. Long story short, I'll kind of, let's just suffice it to say, I end up there two more times, and every time I'm more angry with myself. So they signed me up. That's a long story too. I get signed up for their retreat, and I just thought, I mean, I told them all the reasons in the book I couldn't go to this retreat, right? Including like, I don't think I can afford it, which was not the case. My parents would have paid for any of it. They love Jesus. They want me on that retreat. They would have paid for it. But you know, they're like, well, we have scholarships.
Yes. So, there's always a way, girl. There's always a way.
Yes. So I go on this retreat, and I don't even remember what the speaker, you know, what they said that night, but it was clear from the beginning that the Holy Spirit was there, and he was there to come after me. They had us pray in groups at the end, or in twos, and I ended up being paired with a girl. Her name's Katie. I did not know her. It was the first time I'd met her. She was asking me what she could pray with me for. I couldn't even speak to her and tell her. I literally was so overcome with the clear presence of God, and that he was not going to stop coming after me, that I just couldn't even communicate. She said, I'm just going to start praying. And if you want to either tell me something to pray for, you feel free at any time, or if you want to jump in. And she just started praying over my life in ways that, now that was miraculous. She didn't know me. She didn't know anything about my story. We had just met, and she was clearly praying my story. And she just said, God, I pray that Veronica will understand that you do not care who she is. You don't care what she does, that you were not fooled when you died on the cross, but that you care whose she is, who she belongs to, and that is you. And it was just from that point on, I thought, why would I run away from this? If anybody was fooled on this relationship, it certainly wasn't him. He loves me. And it just was so obvious and clear, all the things that I should have understood before, but I didn't. And so I thought, well, if it's me and him till the end of time, I lose all my friends. If none of them ever love me again, I'm fine with it, because yeah, I have Jesus. And I never looked back.
I don't know about for you, but for me, those years in college, once God really got my heart, oh, the sweet fellowship that I had with friends,
yes,
and with him.
Yes.
And the people that, I mean, I'm just so grateful, and I pray it for my kids all the time. Mm-hmm. Let their college be filled with people who love Jesus, because
yes,
it laid a foundation for me that, I mean, changed my life.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, college is such a unique time because you do have that unstructured, more unstructured time with close proximity to friends than you'll ever have again, really. And so to have that time with people who love Jesus, you know, it's just a gift.
It is. It really is. And it's indescribable unless you experience it, I feel like.
So true. So true.
Now I have to ask, because this is a complete side note, but you have a Virginia shirt on. Did you go to Virginia or are you just a fan?
I did. I went to UVA and it was a great weekend.
Congratulations. Well, I am a Kentucky grad, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you know what? You've had a lot of great runs, and this is like, you know, a long time coming for us. So I am sad for you, but you know, you've had a lot of good times.
You listen, cheer all the way, because with Duke losing, it lightens the blow a little bit for this Kentucky fan. So go Virginia. I hope you guys. I can't say I hope you win, because we have great friends that are Auburn fans. But I'm excited for you.
I'm looking forward to this weekend, and I'm nervous. And it was fun. It was fun. Yes.
All right. So what do you do now to continue growing in your faith and really following Jesus? What are some of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis to just keep that long-term love for God?
Well, I mean, besides all the things that probably we take for granted and maybe we shouldn't, but I love my church. You know, people probably assume I'm biased, but I don't think I am.
Yeah.
I love my church, and we rarely miss. And I think being in the body of Christ where you're known and loved is just critical, and where you get to worship. You know, our worship leaders have been recently focusing on something that I think is crucial. They've been sharing with us a lot about how when you come to worship, it's not just between you and the Lord. That is one piece of it. But you are actually encouraging other believers. And so when you are worshiping and, you know, committed to worship the Lord, regardless of your circumstances, you know, sacrifice of praise is what it's called in the Bible. I think that is just, we take that for granted. And I think that should not be taken for granted. So that's obviously one thing. And that's maybe a given. But we are in a small group. You know, a small group is, I think, it may take you a while to find one. But we actually, I might even say we have two small groups. So we have one that meets on Wednesdays, and, you know, we study the Bible and go in depth there. And we just have close friends that, you know, we spend a lot of time with, even outside of that small group, we do things with them. So that's one thing. We also have a couple of families that we moved to about 4 years ago. We had been in a dinner club with them. We had done various small group things with them for years, actually about a decade. And we started talking about moving to the same neighborhood, especially with my husband being in ministry. Other husbands is also a pastor at Summit. So we started saying, you know, being a pastor is kind of a unique, it has unique aspects to it. So we started talking about moving to the same neighborhood so we could really just, you know, you have that life on life in a new level. Mm-hmm. And so about 4 years ago, we did. We moved to a neighborhood with these three families. And, you know, we carpool, we play soccer together, we do the s'mores, we do the games. Like this weekend, we spent a lot of time with each other watching games. You know, just that unstructured time again together. And for us, that has been extremely valuable because they're going to see us up close and personal, for better or worse, which is good. You know, it's really good for my friend Jen or Julie to be able to speak to me and say, you know, I've noticed this. I wanted to ask you about that, you know, and same thing for the men. So that has been awesome. There's been highs and lows, you know, higher than high before and higher than the lows before. But it's like, we kind of joke around, but really, you know, it's like family, kind of the friends and family combined a little bit there. I'm so thankful for that. So that's one thing. For me personally, this is on an individual basis. I have discovered, and I don't think this is like any kind of rule you have to follow or anything like that. It's probably personality plays into it a little bit, but I've really discovered that the more I can have just praise music on in my life. And there's lots of secular music that I love and listen to. So I don't have any issues with that.
Right.
And my kids know that. They also do the same. But especially starting out the day, I've just found that it's more and more important to have my thoughts returning to the Lord, and that music is helping that happen. It's fostering that. So for me, that's become more important even than I think it used to be. And again, I don't think it's some rule or anything, but yeah, I just think it's been crucial. And then recently, I would say that JD and I have been, and maybe it's coincided with the teen years, I don't know. But I have found the discipline of fasting to become much more precious to me. And it wasn't a new discipline, but I have found it to be something as I've gotten older and yeah, maybe just the teen years. I don't know exactly all the reasons why, but that has been more precious to me of late.
Just really drawn near to him during that time and spending yes. that time.
And being forced to, you know, that reminder, that physical reminder when you're not eating, and that just gives you that trigger. You know, I need outside triggers a lot of times to Amen. Be reminded sadly. To do something. Yes, sadly, I know. and that does that for me. And just to say to him the things that he knows, but like, I want you to know that I want you more than anything else in my life.
Friends, I hope you are enjoying my conversation with Veronica. I want to briefly interrupt to introduce you to this week's sponsor, Hope Threads. Hope Threads was founded by two moms in North Raleigh who have been inspired and motivated to join with highly resilient and talented refugees as they learn English and develop marketable skills to support their families. These women come from countries with political turmoil where they had to fight for the safety of their families. They've been given the opportunity to come to the United States, but challenges still exist. Their children are generally thriving in school, though they lack the language skills to understand what's being said in parent-teacher conferences or the language to get their family proper medical care in the maze of our medical system. Multiple barriers exist that prevent these women from traditional employment opportunities, as most do not have cars to get them to work, the finances to pay for childcare, or the language skills to communicate and advocate for themselves. Hope Threads was born out of relationships formed over years spent teaching them English or caring for their children as they learn. Hope Threads is graciously hosted by Northridge Bible Chapel with virtually no overhead costs, as volunteers teach the women sewing skills and care for their children. Hope Threads began creating baby items and have expanded to create women's earrings and bright, beautiful dishcloths. If you are searching for any of these items, please visit hope-threads.com to make a purchase. Your purchase empowers a woman as she acculturates, learns new skills, and supports her family. That was hope-threads.com or on Instagram at hope.threads. Now back to my conversation with Veronica Greer. Well, prior to having children, you taught kids with learning disabilities.
Yes.
And I know you haven't done that for several years because you've been able to stay at home with your kids, which is such a gift. How have you continued to nurture that passion of teaching outside of the classroom?
Yes, I went to school for communication disorders, which is speech pathology and audiology.
Yeah, I'm a physical therapist, but I haven't practiced in a while.
Yes.
So yes.
Yes. So I ended up, I got married when I graduated. I didn't see that coming either, really. I didn't expect to be married that age, but I didn't get my master's. So I never was able to actually practice. But my degree had a lot of special ed things involved with, yes. you know, education classes. So I ended up going ahead and getting my certificate and ended up teaching kids with learning disabilities for a few years before I had kids. And so I loved that. I loved being in the classroom. I taught high school and have been able to since then do some things involved with that that I've really just have appreciated so much the chance to do. But I haven't been back in the classroom full time. But last year, I was able to do a long-term substitute job at my kid's school for a teacher who had a baby.
Nice.
It was so fun. It really was. I loved that opportunity. And then I get to do lots of other subbing too at my kid's schools. Sometimes it can be a week. Sometimes it's a few days. But that's just been, I just like being in the classroom. And even on a very not an extended, you know, basis, but being able to work with kids and encourage them and the conversations that, you know, come up that you wouldn't see coming. And then they do, you know, you just have the opportunity. And now I'm known at the schools. And so the kids trust me. And it's been an unexpected opportunity to somewhat be in touch with that. Now I'm not writing lesson plans, you know, things like that I'm not doing, but that has been awesome. And I think in my future, I'll be able to get back to that. It's not right now.
So you were a pastor's wife and you talked a little bit earlier about how that's unique. Share with us a little bit about some of the challenges that you've, maybe even if you haven't experienced them, but you just know that it's true of being a pastor's wife, particularly in a situation where you're a pastor's wife of a pretty large church.
Yes. So I kind of joke around. One of my friends said this one time and I have used it often myself after I heard her say it, that people are my hobby. Mm. And so the Lord kind of just, you know, he knew obviously all of my days before I was even born. And so he knew what I was going to be doing, and he gifted me for it, I think, in that I do love people. So I think because of that, it has been awesome. I am an extrovert, which also comes in handy, I will say. Right. It comes in handy in the ministry. But I think I went into it a little bit naive. I don't think that I saw some of the unique experiences that can be very hard as a pastor's wife until later on. And I found myself wondering why I felt like this was kind of hard sometimes. Yeah. I guess I would say, first of all, that, you know, you shouldn't be shocked by that, that you're dealing with people and you are in a, you know, in a position of working closely, whether that be with the people that are just, you know, in your church or whether that be your staff, you know, all of that. And so, you know, don't be shocked when that, you know, presents challenges. That should be sort of like expected. But I think for me, the oddest thing that I began to realize after a period of time was, it was weird for me to recognize that even though I wasn't always thinking, oh, I'm married to the pastor,
everybody
they
else.
Usually are.
Yeah. Yes.
So that was a weird thing for me. You know, I just thought, oh, this is, you know, and sometimes for people, that is a great thing. They're thrilled because they want to know you as the pastor's wife. And usually I think that comes from a good place. Usually sometimes it can, right? There are those people out there that for the wrong, they think it somehow brings them connection or something right. like that. And I'm sort of like, you know, that this and a quarter won't buy you a bag of chips, right? Knowing me and a quarter won't buy you even a bag
That's
of
right.
chips. But then there are the others that are, you know, going to kind of stiff arm you because they have some weird perception of what you might be. And so that was just, I kind of had to just come to grips with that, that that is okay. And that I don't need to necessarily, I mean, you should be wise for that person in that first category. They're few and far between.
Right.
Should not scare you. But those that are trying to get close to you for the wrong reason, the Lord will give you discernment and wisdom, and you can trust him and ask him for it. That's not most people. So on that front, you know, there's that. But then on the other front, I think people, you can overcome it. It may take time if they are sort of hesitant about you or have some preconceived notion about you. You are going to have to dig deep to remember and remind yourself that your worth is not in what other people think of you. Mm. Your worth is only and always in Christ. And that is true for you no matter what, whether you're right. in the ministry or not. But you may have to be pressed on that more often because you are going to let down people. I feel like I let people down more often because of sometimes what they expected me to be.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes you're in a situation, and I may be just putting words in your mouth, but my friends who are even pastors' wives, I'm like, wow, you just... people can put unreasonable expectations on yeah. you because of the role you're in, when in reality, we are all still just flawed human beings who are not going to always meet expectations
right.
and are just going to make mistakes.
Right. I mean, the truth is that is not going to be different on this side of heaven. And so, yeah, you have to find those people to be in your inner circle, those mm-hmm. people who are mature enough and far along enough for that to not rock their world at all.
Yeah.
My friends that are close to me, you know, they expect me to be the sinner that I am. And they call me on it and they hold me to the standard that a Christian should be held to,
right.
but not a standard on top of that.
Not
so.
A self-righteous or a, because you're the pastor's wife, you are supposed to do everything right. You're supposed to act a certain
right.
way, look a certain way, all yep. of those things.
Yep, exactly.
Is there anything even personally that you... And, you know, you can even say no to this, but that you struggle with internally that maybe other people don't see because of being a pastor's wife?
You know, for me and my wiring, I am a people pleaser. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, even in my testimony, that front and center in the fact that I really was struggling with that early on. And I'd never forget one of the elders in our church that I was in at the time. I gave my testimony after that first year of college. And he came to me afterwards and said, thank you so much for sharing with us, but I want you to know something. And he was in his 50s. And of course, at my age 20,
right.
you know, I thought he was like 100.
Oh, yeah.
So he
it's amazing. 50 doesn't seem that old
50,
anymore for
no,
us, right?
I'm like, he wasn't that old, you know, but anyway, he said, I want you to know and just be aware that the struggles that you have had in your walk with Christ to this point will be the struggles you have when you're my age and, you know, till you die.
Yeah.
And I, you know, outwardly said to him, oh, well, you know, thank you. Okay. But inwardly, I was so mad at him.
Yeah.
I was like, that is the rudest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would you say that to me? And of course, now in my 40s, I'm like, wow, the same things. And, you know, you can grow discouraged. You see Paul, I've asked the Lord to take this from me, those kinds of things. And, you know, in chapter 7 of Romans, the things I don't want to do, I do. And, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, you know. And so that story is, I think, every person's story. So for me, people pleasing has always been a struggle, and I have to seek the Lord on where I am letting someone down and have to be fine with it. And that is really hard for me. Or where I'm letting someone down and actually know that's something I need to fix.
Yeah.
Because there are those things too. And that is very, very hard for me to determine. I have to really ask God for that wisdom and lean on my husband, lean on my, you know, close inner circle. Cause in a multitude of counsel, you know, there's wisdom, Proverbs tells us. So that is hard for me.
Well, and it's interesting how God does, doesn't he always put us in the positions to where we really have to work out our struggle the most? Like your people pleasing self, you're in front of people watching you all the time.
Yes.
And probably
he does that,
like,
and it's his grace.
Exactly. It's so funny because I can't remember who I was interviewing, but we were just cracking up because it's like, won't he do it? Won't he always where it's okay, this is your sanctifying opportunity for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. Yep. And maybe it wouldn't be nearly as hard for somebody else, right?
Well,
I mean,
right.
I don't know. But he's going to be sure to refine us in those places that we need refining. And that means it's going to be hard. Quite often it will be hard.
Yeah.
But it is so good for me. And it is so good for me to just be reminded on a regular basis that God is not unhappy with me.
Right.
He is not unhappy with me. And that unhappy can have such a shallow meaning to it. I just mean like everything that I am struggling with is under the blood, and I don't have to bear any guilt for it. There's no guilt and shame that has been dealt with.
Amen. Such wisdom there. Well, because I know people will be wondering, what has life been like now that JD is, I mean, I don't attend Summit, but I know I've known who JD is because we've done Bible studies of his on Right Now Media.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not been a face. Obviously, you don't get elected as SBC president if you aren't somewhat influential. But what's life been like now that he stepped into that role and you thought that you were being looked at before? Now you're being looked at on an even bigger stage.
I would say that has been something that, again, this seems to be a theme in my life that I'm an optimist, and, you know, I can go into things sort of, you know, a little bit naive. And so I think I didn't expect some of the, for sure, there's like a new level of, I guess, as you said, like scrutiny, looking, you know.
Oh, for sure.
And so that's been, again, yet another chance for refinement for me. And I think what's been hard for me is I've been dealing with that for a while. So I know sort of what to do. Just go back to Christ and go back to the Lord and seek him on it. But, you know, I love my church so much, and I love our staff so much. And to see that it has sort of in a new way impacted them. That has been where I have struggled to be gracious in my spirit. Mm. You know, when they, you know, our team, our church, our people, they love our team, our church, our people, and JD and I. And, you know, I think they are left like, whoa, like, because everything we even do at Summit now is sort of looked at with some new eyes.
Yes.
And not that we're doing it all right. Nobody, oh, goodness, do not hear me saying that. But that has been really hard for me to see them kind of struggle through that, too. So, I mean, the Lord, you know, nothing comes to us except that it has been passed through the Lord's hand, and he is obviously sovereign. And so I trust that and I lean on that. But that's been probably the hardest thing for me.
Yeah.
My kids are not really, you know, we are able to more or less shield them from that stuff. You know, they're not on Twitter, and they're not on, my daughter is on Instagram, but she's like, you know, following like people like John Crist. And so she's
really
aware.
We all need some good laughter, some
That's
good John
right.
Crist in our life, don't
Amen
we?
Amen to that. Is that not like the most gracious service he gives us? I mean, that is just the best.
Yes, it is. I'm like, thank you for making me laugh today about
oh my
how silly we can be about things.
So my kids aren't really aware on that level, which I'm very grateful for. I mean, they've lived with their dad as the pastor for a long time, and that has its own things, and it affects my each of my kids differently because they're all very different.
Right.
But, you know, the SBC thing hasn't really, you know, we're able to kind of, that's great. They're not really super aware.
Yeah. And so is he just traveling more now? I mean, how has that impacted you guys?
We tried to prepare for it. He did travel before. That's not brand new. We tried to basically for the next however long, you know, at least year, it might be 2 years. We tried to clear his schedule of other stuff, other travel, and just leave it for things that had to do with the SBC. You know, it has been, I think it's like on your computer, it's like now he has several more tabs open.
Oh, yeah.
And that is for sure taxing. But I would say even in that, the Lord has provided the right people. Again, our team has just always been there in the best ways and served us so well. And so, you know, he has a couple of right-hand men that just have made it bearable and made it so that we can do this and do it, you know, in the way we think the Lord wants us to do it. And I don't know how, I mean, really, that's all that I think the Lord, he did that. And that was what we needed.
Yeah. I love how you talk about how much you love your people and how they've come alongside you. Cause isn't that what we want to hear mm-hmm. about the local church and how that goes on? You know, I mean, the church is not just a building, but we do all have our people that we gather with, and you know, it's not perfection. And I always want
right.
people who are not in the church to know, we're not talking about perfection here. We're just talking mm-hmm. about being someone else's people and loving people where they are and realizing that we're all going to screw up, but we
yes.
still need each other to support
right.
one another and come alongside one another.
Yeah. Just not being alone and knowing that somebody has your back, you know, maybe not even perfectly, but they are there for you. That is what the community is about and why the Lord gave us the body of Christ.
Yeah. And we all need every single part. You know,
yes.
I mean, even those parts that rub me the wrong way, I'm like, be reminded that those are part of the body too.
Yes. And that you need it. It's so true. And you have to remind yourself from time to time. You know, like I said, I really do like people. So it's not super
right.
frequent with me, but sometimes, you know, you hit that person, you're just like, you're a little bit, you're not the easiest for me, but that it's crucial to have them.
Yeah, absolutely. What ministries are you involved in your local church?
So I am one of the things I love that doesn't take tons of time, but on Sundays I'm in the first impressions, kind of like, I guess old school would call it the greeting team, but you know, we're at the like tent out front. And so if you're a first time visitor, I think people probably more often come their second time because they're checking
right, a little
out
bit too
time.
Intimidating. They're not sure they're coming back yet. They got to
right.
check it out first.
Exactly. So I'm there. And I mean, you wouldn't believe the stories I get there at that tent. I love being there at that, you know, just greeting people and helping, hopefully making them feel welcome so that they do want to come back, right? If it is their first or even second time. And so anyway, I do that on Sundays and I love it. And then I'm in a Bible study and I'm a facilitator for that. And I love that. That's on Wednesdays. That's just been awesome. And then I kind of have seen it over the last several years as, cause once my youngest 3 years ago, he went to kindergarten. And so I really went through some time of like, okay, what does this mean for me? Cause now I don't, right. What am I going to do? I have a little bit more time. You would be surprised at how little time you have, but a little bit more time now. And so what do I want to use that for? And I have just tried to, you know, the Lord has me with JD and JD always thinks visionary. He always thinks big. And I always think small.
and he
so
needs
we're good
you.
For each other. Yeah. Yes,
I mean,
I tell him.
Right? Like, listen,
it's
God
true.
Does not put us with our spouses for, I mean, he knows. He knows.
He knows. He knows. Yes. So I need him and he needs me. And so I really do try to seek where I can use that time actively and intentionally around me. So in my neighborhood,
yeah.
You know, I walk with my neighbors every Tuesday and Friday, or at least whenever I can. And I'm trying to see where there's need, see where I can pour in there, you know, that kind of thing.
I love that.
Same thing with my family. I'm trying to figure out where I can pour in, where I can serve, in our schools, in our community. I sub there. I told you that substitute. And I certainly am not doing that for the paycheck. I'll tell you that for sure. that is, you know, a way I can serve. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm also able to be at the things and I just see it as the gift that I've been given right now.
You know, I mean, you've got to have the people doing the impact right where they are right now.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. And so how do you feel like that you, I mean, you know, you say JD is a visionary, you know, how do you come alongside him in that?
So when you look at all the personality types, you know, and all the tests and all those things, and there's a million of them.
Are you an Enneagram girl at all?
I love Enneagram. I love Myers-Briggs. I kind of love them all. I like people. So,
right.
But if it matters to anybody, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram.
I was getting ready to say, you have to be a 7. That's so funny. I'm a 1. So I'm the one that's like,
okay,
inner critic. You know, I'm like, if you knew as hard as I am on myself, right, I'm hard here. It's not as hard on you as you think.
One of my best friends, one of the ones that I moved to the neighborhood with, she's a 1. So I totally get it. But anyway, I'm an ENFP, if that matters. Anyway, all the things, you know, new is exciting to me. I love new opportunities. It doesn't take much to get me excited about something. And so I think that is a good match for JD. I love what we do. I felt called to it. I told you early, even before I walked away from God for a little while. You know, I don't take it for granted. And at the end of the day, even when it's hard, the disciples told Jesus at a certain point, you know, where else would we go? Like, you have the words of life. For better or worse, this is it. And I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I want to do, for better or worse, you know. Yeah. And so when he was considering and praying about the SBC thing, I was hesitant because I just didn't know what it meant for my fairly young family and for me and all of that. And so just, you know, lots of mixed emotions internally. I didn't have mixed emotions on whether or not I thought JD
could do it.
Yeah. Not on that front, but it was just, you know, the impact as far as us went. I was trying to think through that. And I think the things that have arisen that we have, you know, whenever you're in a position of leadership, things are going to come your way that you have got to work through. And so on this side of it, I'm seeing clearly that he is gifted to lead well. He is confident and humble all at the same time. Mm. And I live with him. So, you know, I understand that for me to say that is a pretty big deal. And it's the truth. And now I see clearly, oh yeah, this is what the Lord, he was intending. So, and I'm thankful because you don't always get to see that, right? You're not always sure. But it has become apparent to me that that's what the Lord intended and what he wanted. And I'm thankful that I get to see that.
Well, I've been grateful to see him step into that role and just the freshness that he's brought to it and some of the really hard topics that I know he is not stepping into that role in a time in our culture that is easy.
Yes, so absolutely.
You can tell him for me, thank you for bringing light to things like the article that was out the other day about abuse and, you know, things about racial reconciliation and those topics that for some people, you know, air quotes, are hot topics. They're vital to the health of the church. And God's not, the church is going to last forever. I mean, God has told us in his word, it is not going anywhere. So no matter what everybody else throws at it, it's still going to be there. But like, what are we doing in our place in the church right now to impact God's kingdom in his way?
For and good.
I have been so just grateful to see JD going after some of those hard things that I'm sure you received the criticism for.
Yeah. I've seen him from the time we were dating, engaged and got married, even early years, he doesn't shy away from it. It's not something, it's again, even in his wiring, he is like, let's deal with this. That's how he is wired. And he's willing to kind of get in there. And where the battle is the hottest in the culture is where the church should be.
Amen.
Now, we have to stand firm on what we have been given in scripture. We shouldn't be following culture, but we should be addressing the things that culture is bringing because we are in the culture for a reason. So I'm thankful for the way the Lord has kind of put him together too.
Let's kind of end with something a little bit fun because on your Facebook, you do Tip Tuesdays.
Yes.
And they've been, sometimes they're hilarious. Sometimes they're serious.
Sometimes they kind of run the gamut.
They do run the gamut. I mean, just tell our listeners a little bit about that because it's fun. Kind of how it came about. Maybe a few stories about how it's impacted people, why you do it, those types of things.
Oh, goodness. Well, probably as far as impact goes, the best thing I can offer is that people have, you know, gotten a good, like, you know, under eye concealer or something.
Hey, listen, any woman in the world needs a good under eye concealer.
It's valuable, right? Don't undervalue that.
That's right. That's right. Especially if you don't have babies yet, you're getting ready to find out.
You will. That's so true. So true. That's usually what I like to give when I go to a shower or something. I like to give my favorite concealer.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. Like, get them the baby book, get them the thing of diapers,
and concealer.
I'm doing that right. Next time, girl.
It's a great way to go. Connection is what I value. And I've always loved, I kind of got this from my mom. I love hair. I love makeup. It's fun for me. And of course, all keeping that like in balance, right? You don't want to swing over to the vanity side. But anyway, so I just started thinking, you know, I kind of want a way to connect and I want a way to do this freely and easily and just kind of where my heart is at the time. And maybe it's on something more serious, but maybe it's on something like concealer. So it just became Tip Tuesday. Maybe I got that from someone else. I honestly don't know. I don't remember. So,
cause you've been doing it for a while.
I've been doing it for a while and I don't do it every single week. Before Easter, I decided to kind of take some time and it's a way of fasting. So no social media right now. Anyway, just doing that. So I don't do it every single week because, you know, that's sort of the way I roll, but I do it as often as I can. And I love getting feedback. I love getting comments. And I like thinking that, you know, for me, when you go to the Target aisle or if you go to Sephora or whatever, or the CVS, and you're looking at this aisle of whatever it is, you know, I think you can just feel overwhelmed. And especially, I think people who aren't like, I enjoy this stuff. I like hair. I like makeup. And so for people who don't, it's probably even more overwhelming.
Yeah, so girl, like that's me.
So I like to think that I'm helping those people who are like, just tell me what's a good one. You know, I don't want to spend time here.
Yeah. I mean, when I looked at your tip, I was like, yes, thank you.
I'm going to try that. Right. So it's just something fun I like to do. And it's a good way of connecting with different people. So.
Well, and then when you post something that's like I think the last one you did was the article of just addressing the Me Too movement. And it's like, then people are going to also click into that and have responses.
Yeah.
And I have found even through this podcast, it's amazing what types of conversations will come up face to face just
Absolutely.
As a result of someone, you know, maybe reading about that concealer that then went and read.
And that's kind of my idea, that I like to use something that's like light to trigger and then post an article or something like that to trigger a better community like conversations. Because on Facebook, that's not going to happen. But if you read that and then you can discuss it, that's ideal.
Yeah. And it happens. I don't know about for you, but it happens for me all the time where somebody will just say something and that leads us into talking about, you know, who knows what.
Right, right, exactly.
Well, we end our show with a few questions. The first one being, I mean, we always have to cling to the grace of God, but we know as believers, we have seasons in our life where, I mean, it is just all you can do is to cling to His grace. Is there a season you can share with us where you really felt like that was true for you?
So I think honestly, it would be with parenting teenagers. As I kind of mentioned earlier, maybe I thought I'd be good at it. I don't know, because I like high schoolers and I like college age and I've worked with them many, many times, but they weren't mine. And so I just find myself really doubting myself so frequently.
Yeah.
And worrying where it really does step over the line to just really being sin, right? Being in sin that I'm taking on things that belong to the Lord. And, you know, He tells us, do not worry, but, you know, come to Him in prayer.
Yeah.
So I would say that has been the thing where, at least that's when I look back over the last several years, where it's just, I am desperate and I feel this new level of desperation for Him to move and to act. And I mean, my teens are awesome. I love them. We had the best time this weekend with my 16-year-old, but you know, it's just up to the Lord, not us, to steer and parent them, especially as they are approaching, you know, she's
adulthood.
16, we have 2 years. Right. And I think JD is really the better teen parent. I was probably the better parent when they were, you know, little probably.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful to lean on Him and some of that too. But desperation, new levels of just, Lord, I need You to move big here.
And I need to trust You. Just sit in it. That's the hard part. Well, and then lastly, if you had the chance to sit down with your great grandkids and give them some wisdom, is there anything you'd like to share with them?
This might be really strange, might sound weird, but I think I would like to tell them that as they go forward, that life with Christ is worth it. Mm-hmm. That whatever you think you might lose or give up, or whatever you think you might be letting go, He promises you are going to gain tenfold.
Amen.
And just to test Him on that, when you get to middle school or high school, lean in. And by lean in, I think sometimes people are like, what does that even mean? I mean, press Him with your time, give Him more of your time, give Him more of your energy, give Him more of your thoughts, and see if it's not true. Because, you know, if it's not true, you'll find out very quickly.
Yeah, and ask him the hard questions.
Yes, he is so able to absorb that. I mean, you can't phase him with your hard, even your emotion. I mean, if you're angry with him, like, don't try to keep that from him because he knows. So just, he is worth it. Life with Christ is worth everything you give it. Your time, your energy, your effort, you know, your life. You can press in and try it and you'll see that it's true.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Veronica, for being here today. We had some technical difficulties, but I don't think our audience will even know it. So I appreciate it so much.
It was such a pleasure. I'm so glad I got to sort of, meet you and to do this.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so grateful that you took the time to listen to today's episode of the Grace Enough podcast. If Veronica mentioned something during the episode that you are interested in checking out, go to graceenoughpodcast.com, click show notes, episode 23, and you will find links, quotes, and resources from our conversation. Have you subscribed to Grace Enough Podcast? Clicking that subscribe button helps make sure you never miss a new episode, which releases every Tuesday. You can listen to the Grace Enough Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and on my website, graceenoughpodcast.com. I hope you'll tune in next week as I talk to BJ Foster, who is the content creator for All Pro Dads.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Enough Podcast. Tune in next time!